Amen. Good morning, everyone. Get all my things together here. Now, in a few minutes, I lock the door so they can't come in. But once I put these down here, we're going to have a full house for the second session today. All right. Amen. God is good. You can partner with me. That's just how good God is. You know, you say, help show? Sure. See, I thought Jamie would be the first one up here. But you see, my old illustration is this. You'd say, well, Jamie will take one because she's the bride. Well, look at the connection. Who are you? You're the bride of Christ. And all he's got, he's offering you today. So, you know, I just share that as an opening for, because sometimes, you know, you hear people, I hear myself making statements, and it's like, you know, there's something true about that, but there's just something that doesn't ring a bell, right? You know how that is? Kind of like, well, and you see that on Facebook a lot, eh? You see, like, somebody was putting on there, and I like the response that they gave. Something to this effect, you don't have to be afraid of the COVID virus, because you're not going to die until your time is up, no matter what's happening out there. And so, well, that kind of sounds not bad, but I like what the person responded to. They said, okay, let's go out in the freeway and stand in front of a semi and let's see how this works. And I thought, that's a good thought there. Yeah, sometimes it's just not, it just doesn't quite connect. But we need to respond to God, but we need to respond in a way, and I'll get that to you in a second here. I remember a number of years ago this whole thought, and I'm not disagreeing with it, but somebody was saying to me that, you know, I'm not afraid to fly in an airplane because I don't believe we're going to crash, because I'm not leaving this earth until it's my time. So I said to them, well, what if it's the pilot's time? you might be in a little trouble there. Anyways. But I want to just talk this morning, like I say, very simple, just some simple covenant truths and how we can respond to them. You know, one of the things with our prolonged COVID thing is that we're social people. We need to be together. And in the Word of God are so many things that involve that, because God has made us that way. And we want to be able to respond to the truth that He's placed in our heart. And I'll share some of these with you this morning, and but I better get on the road here. Hebrews chapter 4 from the Passion Translation. Now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. I like that. Boy, we need God's rest in this day and age. Okay, so we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not to fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance, just as they did, yet they did not join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. And so that's back when the spies went to spy on the promised land. And Caleb and Joshua believed God, and they confessed that. We can go in. We can take this, because this is what God has promised us. And, you know, there's kind of like three things we can do. We can doubt, we can have faith, or we can do nothing. Well, they doubted. You know, it was just one way or the other for the rest of them. All right, but this is what we want to do, is combine what the Word of God says with faith. We want to put our faith with that. And I just want to share a few things in regards to that. Romans 1:8. Paul writes, I give thanks to God for all of you because the testimony of your faith is spreading throughout the world. So he was hearing about the church at Rome from other parts of the world. And now it's like, Lord, how can we share our faith in this type of a situation, you know, that we're in today? May God give us wisdom. Then also, I want to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13. This is why we continually thank God for your lives, because you received our message wholeheartedly. You embraced it not as the fabrication of men, but as the Word of God. And the Word continues to be an energizing force in you who believe. And that's my prayer for all of us today. May the Word of God be an energizing force. We talked about endurance and encouragement a couple of weeks ago, about the Word of God doing that. It's also an energizing force by the power of the Holy Spirit acting on the Word and revealing the Word to us. And that revelation and that we get every time we read the Word of God and we read the same. Somebody asked me the other day how many times I've read through the Bible. I have no idea. But you know, you can never read through it too much. Every time you read, the Holy Spirit reveals something new to you. And it's just totally awesome. It's absolutely, during this time, it's still important to absolutely be persuaded in the finished work of Christ and the Word of God. And so it seems that when we do something in the physical as a response to the biblical reality, something is established in us more permanently. And I'll give you some examples. We had an example last week. We had the communion service, right? Regularly partaking of the symbols of bread and wine in remembrance of what Jesus did. If we cannot be at the service, many of you at home partook together. And many of you do anyways. And please feel free to do that. You don't have to have a pastor or an elder or anybody. You just have communion yourself. You know, I know one church that they have actually the symbols on the platform every Sunday. So that if you feel that need, that you just want to take during the prayer time or during the worship time, you can come up and get some juice and bread and just have your little time with the Lord. And I think that's cool. We sometimes get so official, but you know, this is a personal thing with God, the finished work of Christ. And so by partaking in communion, it does something. It establishes you, like it's always in remembrance of Jesus. But it establishes what Jesus did, and you're reminded again. No matter what the circumstances are out there or what we're going through, we're reminded that Jesus paid it all. So you get something physical to remind you of what's happened inside. Now, I didn't put numbers by here today, so I have no idea what page I'm supposed to be going to. Salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And again, I believe this is from the Passion Translation. At salvation, and what is God's living message? It's the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. For the heart that believes in him receives the gift of righteousness of God, and then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. This is, of course, the best example of combining something that we do with what's been done inside. You know, a lot of people will believe, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they've never confessed it. Never confessed it. And there's something happens again when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You know, these are usually, from time to time over the years, I've had people come and say, Pastor, I want to talk to you for a bit. I say, sure. And they said, you know, I am not convinced that I'm saved. I don't have that surety in my heart. And all the time, I'll ask them, have you ever confessed with your mouth? And a lot of times they'll say, well, not really that I can recall. Well, this is what you need to do, because when you establish that with your mouth, when you confess what's been done in her heart, again, something happens. I can't tell you how or why, but something happens when you take that truth and you actually do something with it. And in this case, believe, confess it with your mouth. So this is a challenge in this day that we're separated so much, is finding ways to confess and keep confessing what we believe in our hearts. Somehow, God will give us wisdom again in regards to that. Here's another example. Like I said, this is just really, really simple. Water baptism. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life. If you notice in the New Testament, so often as soon as somebody got saved, they got them baptized. Because there's something that happens. There's something that truth that we are buried with him in his death and then raised with him in new life, there's something happens when you, you know, a lot of people experience a lot of different things when they're water baptized, because you're combining that truth that's happened, what Jesus did 2,000 years ago and what he's done in your life, that's a symbol of it. Now, the problem with symbols and things is when the symbol becomes more real than the reality of what happened. And then you got religious works. But I'm not talking about taking works to that far. I'm just talking about establishing what God has done, what he said in his word. You know, and I've had people say, oh, I don't need to be water baptized. Well, no, you don't, but you have no idea what that simple act will do to you, what that'll establish in your heart and your life. All right, the outward sign of something that happened. To stay on the topic of baptism, in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, when all the people that were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." I think if baptism was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. And what happened after he got baptized, he went out and was tempted. And so Jesus' baptism gave him the encouragement to face the future. And I think that's the same thing for us. There's so many things we can take from this. And may the Lord just bless his reality to your life. That act established something in Jesus, and I believe that act establishes something in our own hearts. You know, marriage, and I'm not going to, there's so many examples, but I'll just throw some more at you. Marriage, for example, found out throughout Scripture, and I've had many couples say, well, I don't need that piece of paper, ain't going to make no difference. Oh, yeah? you just go and go through that and get that piece of paper, and you'll see how much difference it is. Because again, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And so you are putting your signature to that, yes, I love this person, and I'm willing to spend my life with this person. I'm willing to commit myself to this person. I want to put them first. And it's like this does something. It establishes something inside of us. And besides that, if we live together and we're not married, we're just living in sin. And that's not a good thing. So, you know, speaking of which, not living in sin, but speaking, I was thinking, and this is kind of a rabbit trail, but, you know, they say that diamonds are a lady's best friend. Well, what's a man's best friend? A dog. It's like, hey, there's no comparison here, you know. You know, and we're getting into the May here and June and all these brides-to-be, and man, a gal go out and spend a few $1,000s on a dress to be worn once. What does a guy do? He goes and rents a suit that's been worn how many times? By how many people? And will be worn again? And that's the end of that? Like, so it's just one of Ralph's things. Anyways. you know, even like we can't all be here, but church attendance is important. First of all, the Scripture tells us to assemble ourselves. We do the best we can. But there's people that'll say, well, I don't need to go to no church. I can just worship God at home. Folks, we're part of a body. There's something happens when we meet together. Yes, Christ dwells in us, but he also, where two or three are meeting together in his name, he's there. There's the corporate thing. There's the single thing. You know, everything needs we got to keep developing it. And when we get together, there's something that happens that doesn't happen when we're by ourselves. Any relationship needs to be worked on. Husband and wife, families, you know. And it's so sad when a child or when somebody in the family decides that they don't want to communicate anymore with parents or with siblings, and it's just not right. But when we can develop our relationships, you know, all these kind of things, we combine our faith with the Word of God, with all the different things in the Word of God, you know, even in volunteering, there's something happens when you're doing something you're not getting paid for, but you're doing it out of love of your heart to help somebody, whatever that might be. There's just so many things a guy could address this morning. But when we combine something physical with what we believe in our heart or with what's in the Word, it establishes something in us. That's all I'm saying. There's just something happens that otherwise is probably never going to happen. So we need to seek the creative wisdom of God as we work these things out in our lives. So I end this morning with what I started with. Now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. Something is going to happen when we, that's not going to happen otherwise, as we enter God's rest. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance, just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. Let's not doubt today. Let's believe God for what he says. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua. Let's proclaim, yeah, we can do this, because this is what God has told us. Whatever, in whatever area and capacity that might be, whatever might be on your heart this morning. And, you know, maybe you need to make a phone call today. I don't know. But whatever God is leading you to do, combine your faith with that promise and see what God will do. Amen. Let's pray for the requests. Oh yeah, Don and Phil, yeah, you guys are going to get your, yeah, that's a good idea. Amen. Thank you, Father, again today for your greatness, your love, your kindness, and we want to combine our faith with your word. You are the great healer. Thank you, Lord. You also give doctors wisdom and talent and ability. So we just pray for Don and Phil. We just pray healing, wholeness from head to toe. We pray for whatever's in this box, Lord. We pray for employment today. We pray, Lord, for healing. We pray for restored relationships. Lord, we just pray that you'll come alive in us as never before. Your Holy Spirit move upon us, upon our families, upon our church. And we give you the praise and the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, folks. Have an awesome day.